You may remember that the sage Vyasa, the author of the Mahabharata, had said to Yudhishthira shortly before he returned to Hastinapura with his brothers, with Krishna, with the old blind king, and Gandhari, his queen, to be anointed as king, the victorious king of the Kuru race, that he'd ask questions, Yudhishthira would ask questions about kingship, how to rule, the dharma of a king, and so forth. And Vyasa had said to him that, in fact, there's only really one person who has the vast knowledge of kingship, and that is Bhishma. Bhishma was dying still on the battlefield. He had a military guard round him. Remember, he had a boon by his father that he would be able to control the time of his death. And as Vyasa pointed out, within a few days, he was likely to actually pass on. So let us have a look at the attributes of Bhishma. Remember, he boasted, or he may not have been boasted, he factually said at and during the war that he was invincible. No one actually could beat him. And as a background to that, you may know that he was a Vasu. He actually came from the deities, one of the deities that used to be in attendance to Indra in the courts there. And he was brought up by the goddess Ganga. She married his father, Santandu, and for about his first 16 years of his life, he actually went to the higher worlds with Ganga, where she saw to his education, his understanding of the Vedas, and he came under the sixth incarnation of Vishnu, Parashurama, the warrior seer. And so his weaponry, knowledge of weaponry, is outstanding. So in fact, Parashurama, rather like Drona, he was a Brahmin, but a fighting Brahmin. His parents had called him Devavrata, and that meant the one with godlike vows. But he got the name Bhishma when he agreed with a local fisherman that this fisherman king would allow his daughter to marry Shantanu, Bhishma's father, on the basis that the fisherman king insisted that the first son, the son of his daughter, would be king of the nation, the Kurus. And in order to do that, it meant that Bhishma, who was prince regent at the time, would have to stand aside and agree not to be king. But also, he agreed that if he had any offspring himself, then they would not become. So in effect, he became celibate. And because of that, when he made that enormous vow, the usual thing of apsaras were singing from the heavens and flowers would drop down. And the name Bhishma really means the awesome one, the one who'd taken this awesome vow. And so at the court at Hastinapura, Santandu was king, Satyavati, the fisherman's daughter, was his wife, and they had two sons. So these were stepbrothers, half-brothers to Bhishma. They had Chitradrangada and Visitravira. Kasi was a nation on the Ganges, just as Hastinapura was for the nation of the Kurus, but it was a lot further down. It was to the southeast. And the names of the daughters were Amba, Ambika, and Ambalika. And they were very beautiful young women. In fact, as Bhishma called them, he called them, they were well stacked. Well, the actual arena was set out, as you normally expect. There were tiers of seats, and there were buildings that had been built for the big show. And all the kings were seated around there. Bhishma went out by himself on his chariot, and right from the start, he went into the arena, and he shouted out that he was going to take these princesses by force back to be, he said who he was. He was Bhishma, son of Santandu, of the nation of the Kurus. He'd come to take by force these three princesses, and they were welcome to fight it out with him. And in fact, he repeated it twice. Well, that, as you can imagine, was chaos, because all these kings had come far. They were all hopeful that they were going to marry these beautiful young women. They had a big dowry, and they'd have a slice of the relationships with the Kasi nations. And here this chap was coming having to pinch them all in front of them. So there's enormous shouting of yoke up, yoke up, and chariots are pulled and their horses are pulled and yoked into them. Warriors scrambled onto their elephants. Some kings were on horseback, and they all eventually completely surrounded Bhishma. But by that time, he lifted all three of the princesses, put him on his chariot, and the arrows are flying. But he completely outmatched them. The speed with which the arrows came from him, he had one arrow for each of the chariots around him, and it sliced the banner pole that came tumbling down. He was killing the animals, and he killed some of the charioteers and some of the people who were actually on the elephants, the mahouts and so on. And it wasn't long before people realized they just couldn't outmatch him, so they fled. Now, unchallenged, he went on his way back to Hastinapura. When he got there, he called in on Satyavasti, he always called her mother, and he grabbed her feet and said that he brought back these three lovely princesses, and she was delighted, of course, and she held his head, kissed him on his head, and the princesses were prepared for the marriage to his stepbrother. And at this stage, big problems. Amber came forward pretty coyly and said how that she had actually fallen in love with the king of Salva, and she was unofficially engaged to marry him. Their parents didn't know, the king's parents didn't know, but she couldn't stay and marry Visitavira because her heart was with him and he reciprocated. So Bhishma spoke to his mother, Satyavati, and some counselors, and he arranged that she would be escorted back with a nurse and some aging Brahmins. She went straight away to the king of Salva and said, "Here I am, my love, I've come to wed you." But bad luck for her, he wouldn't have it. He was quite adamant. He said, "Well, you've been taken by Bhishma, betrothed to another man, you're tainted goods," and he wouldn't have any of it. Whatever she said, he said, "No, go," and he turned his back on her. Well, you can imagine. There were tears and drama and wailing, and she thought to herself, whose fault was it? Was it my fault? I could have actually rushed off and gone back to him because he was at the actual Swayamvara. Was it my silly father's fault holding me out to the highest bidder, so to speak? Or what was it Bhishma? And in fact, she quickly came to blame Bhishma. It was he who took her out there, who initiated it. It was he who brought her back, and it's because of his actions that he was at fault. So she vowed to kill him, either that she would arrange for him to be killed, or she would take on austerities and asceticism and have the power to do it herself. Fortunately, nearby there was a hermitage, and she went to the hermitage crying, weeping, and she saw the chief of the hermitage there, the ascetic there, told them the plight and said, "You must look after me. I want to be taught asceticism by you." Well, these poor old boys, you imagine, old chaps with all their chanting and all the bits and pieces they do, they just didn't know what to do. Said that she should go back to her father, and she said no, she couldn't do that. If she went back to her father, she would be despised, she would be mocked, and the only way was for her to study asceticism and austerities under their protection. Well, fortunately for them, a regular visitor called in. He was a royal seer, and in actual fact he was the father of Amber's mother. And he was got up and folded their hands and brought water to him and brought some honey and things like that. And then he was quickly told by Amber of her problems, her lovesick problems. And he deliberated for quite a while over it. He was very understanding to her and very affectionate to her. And he deliberated whether, in fact, it was Bhishma's fault or whether it was the king of Salvia's fault. He determined actually that it was Bhishma, and he said, in actual fact, you should go to Rama, Parasurama, who was in fact a good friend of his, and tell him the plight and tell him to sort it out with Bhishma. In other words, to threaten Bhishma that he should take her back and look after her, or in fact he would fight with Bhishma. And again, fate was on her side, because shortly after that, a close friend of Parasurama, in fact it's his charioteer, called in saying that Parasurama was due to come by there. He was told the sorrowful tale, tears and God knows what from Amber, and he said, "Well, Parasurama's coming soon, he will will determine what is best. It was well into the evening of the next day that, in fact, Parasarama came. Matted hair, wearing bark clothes. He was with a number of disciples. He had his bow in his hand and a sword at his side, and of course the battle axe, which was his weapon. He was in a jolly frame of mind. He wasn't all dusty, he was very refreshed. He came in, he saw his friends, he saw the others there. They all got up, all folded hands again, sat him down, washed his feet. He quickly got into conversation with his old friends, laughing, joking, talking about old times and things like that. And when the conversation subsided a little bit, then Amber was introduced to him. And with her teary eyes, red eyes, weeping, all this sort of stuff, she came out with this sorrowful, lovesick story. And she was pretty pushy. She talked about how Bhishma was to blame and Bhishma should be killed and so forth. Anyway, Parasarama was quiet for quite a while. Frankly, I don't think he really wanted to be too involved with it, because he sort of thought for a while, then he said, well, I will speak to both Salya and I'll speak to Bhishma. As Bhishma was his disciple, then he would obey him. And if he didn't, then he would fight Bhishma for Amber's cause. And she remained pretty pushy. She reminded Parasarama that, of course, one of his vows was to look after people in her position who were unprotected and so forth. So Parasarama spent the night there, and the following morning the ascetics, they made oblations to the fire, they said their prayers. Parasarama himself prepared himself and his followers and went up to Kurukshetra, the field of the Kurus, and there he made his camp. He set up a tent and he stayed there for about 3 days, when he sent a message to Bhishma down at Hastinapura. He should come and see him, and he wanted to discuss matters with him. And so Bhishma went out to the field of the Kurus to meet him with a bunch of Brahmins and with his own house priests. And pretty well immediately, Parasarama went into it, talking about Amber, why it had happened. And he told Bhishma that he had treated Amber with contempt and he should take her back on his orders, on Rama's orders. Bhishma saw that Rama wasn't really too angry, so he said that there's no way he could take her back now and give her to her brother. And it was actually her wish that she wanted to go to King Salva, so that was that. Well, Parasarama became pretty furious. He said, if you disobey my orders, then I will kill you and kill your counsellors. And so here, Bhishma was at loggerheads with his master, with Parasarama, an avatar who, over 21 years, had annihilated all the Kshatriyas about to go into battle with him. Well, if you have been, thanks very much for listening.